Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Okay, so last week we had A-list copywriter Donnie Bryant on to tell us that the era of salesmanship in print is over for copywriting to be replaced by showmanship in print. All right. And he added that knowing how to sell is still a top priority, but today it's almost imperative that you do it in an entertaining context. Now, Donnie's right. We're in an entertainment era, that's for sure. I'll give you an example. A couple of days ago on a news show, I was watching a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter from the Washington Post talk about some major shocking breaking news. And she started out her comments with her prediction of how this news would play out in the future in a movie. She started her description by saying, in the Netflix version, okay, now let's go back just for a moment, if you can, or if you can't in your imagination, to the 1970s. When I was a journalist myself, can you imagine the summer of 1974? It's just after Nixon resigns, and Woodward and Bernstein get on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, and they say, you know, I think in the movie, Robert Redford should play Woodward, and Dustin Hoffman can play Bernstein. Never woulda, coulda, or shoulda happened in 1974. But that was then, and this is now, and here we are. It's Netflix's world. We just live in it. So how does all this apply to copy? Well, not as much as you imagine, but probably more than you think. And we'll talk about what I mean by that just after I talk about this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So let's talk about entertainment. I mean, for years, I've been saying, and I think you've been mostly agreeing, that we need to realize we're not in the entertainment business. We're in the sales business, the marketing business. And, you know, I have to bring up the emu. Things like the emu don't really work. Donnie made such a compelling case, and things I'm seeing, I'm adjusting that. But let's talk about the difference between the Hollywood industrial complex, the big entertainment, and what we do, okay? And New York publishing. So fiction and movies, I saw a really good definition of this. The actor and the writer have permission to lie with the audience's consent. We know what they're saying is not literally true, but it does good for us emotionally. We enjoy it, so we go with it. Now, as marketers, we don't have the luxury of lying. Embellishing? Sure. Reframing? Yeah, okay. But actually lying to powerful communities make this very dangerous. The community of states, attorneys general and FTC, that community, and our customers. You know, you tell a lie, it can come back to bite you, not only in terms of refunds or maybe lawsuits, but also maybe even worse in terms of social media and being taken down, being canceled, being, you know, criticized and so forth. So we don't have the luxury of lying. Now, there's another big difference between, you know, big entertainment and us. A scene in a movie, just one scene, might take 3 to 5 minutes. And except for some long opening stories, as a marketer, you usually have about 3 to 5 paragraphs. So stories and copy are streamlined compared to big entertainment. They have fewer elements because they don't have as much work to do. And their job is not to engulf the reader in an imaginary world as a story's job in fiction is. Their job is to move the prospect emotionally towards the sale. So with all of those constraints in mind. We'll talk about 5 ways to use showmanship, entertainment skills to make your copy more interesting and more profitable.
Let's just jump into it.
All right. First one is customer experience stories that strum your prospects' heartstrings. And here I'd like to talk about one of the key weaknesses of AI. AI has a lack of emotional intelligence. It has a lack of a sense of nuance and subtlety in conversation. And what that means, in terms of entertainment, in terms of stories, it can't write stories that resonate with prospects. Here's an example. I imagined an app that saves time and asked ChatGPT to write a 3-sentence story about what it's like to use the app. Ready for what I got?
Yeah.
Using this app feels like the first breath of fresh air on a crisp, serene morning, invigorating your mind with clarity and purpose. Each swipe and tap resonates like a well-tuned instrument, harmonizing your chaotic schedule into a symphony of productivity. It's like walking through a perfectly organized garden where every plant and path has its place, allowing you to move forward with confidence and calm. Okay, so besides being idiotic and completely unlike what a real user experience would be like, the AI story has 3 awkward metaphors: breath of fresh air on a crisp, serene morning, well-tuned instrument into a symphony of productivity, perfectly organized garden. And what is worse, it's tone deaf. It's not believable at all. A story like that is not entertaining and won't resonate with a real buyer. Now, suppose your best buyers were working professionals and your research found these people had to balance their regular lives with caring for an aging parent. And let's say you know this from research. You have like 70% of your buyers, that's their situation. So you could write an entertaining story, entertaining not in the Netflix sense, but in the sense that it moves the emotions. And you could write a story that AI could never write, something like this. We know about the competing pressures for your time. Every minute counts when you're balancing work and home with the demands of caring for your aging parents. That's why our app doesn't just organize your tasks. It also shows you how to carve out time for what truly matters, making sure you can be there for all the ones you love while still pursuing your dreams. Now, the Netflix version would be a lot longer. It would have a lot more characters, have different locations and conflicts the main character has to solve between meeting with big, meanie, demanding client, other family members' demands, rushing to the assisted living facility, traffic jams, a high-speed chase, and so much more. So it's important to point out that the kind of entertainment for sales copy is much more streamlined, but it still is entertaining because it moves our emotions rather than just promising a lot of value and convenience. And on a personal note, my mother was in an assisted living facility for 4 years before she passed away 11 years ago. I remember about the competing time pressures, and I had some feelings even as I was writing the story and even as I was reading to you just now. Okay.
I'll just say the emotional connection in there and almost an emotional roller coaster is something that maybe not so entertaining, but definitely part of entertainment, and to weave it into your copy like that is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. It's not like watching Chris Rock or Bill Burr on a Netflix special, right? I mean, it's not, but so I'm expanding entertaining to creating some kind of emotional experience. All right, so number 2 is jack-in-the-box stories or hidden benefit stories. And I'm going to tell you what I call jack-in-the-box stories because they have an element that just springs out of nowhere. And by that, I mean a benefit to your product no one was expecting. So surprise is one of the most important elements of entertainment, right? If you saw Fool Me Once on Netflix, the reveal at the end of who the real killer was and how this exposed all the corruption you thought would stay under wraps was quite a surprise. And whenever I talked with friends about that series, this was the first thing that came up. That's a prize. Of course, with product promotion, you don't have 8 hours, multiple cast members, and all the other things that make great bingeable television. You only have a few minutes and you have to keep it simple. One of the best ways to inject surprise in your copy while staying on track is by introducing an unexpected benefit. That's the Jack in the Box. This unexpected benefit pops up out of nowhere. And that's okay even if you learn about this benefit from your customers. Take the story of omega-3 supplements, for example, which I take. Most companies originally promoted omega-3 for heart health, but someone on a forum pointed out that omega-3 supplements also helped soften their skin and make them look younger. Don't know if that's worked for me, but I still take it regardless. This chance discovery opened up a whole new market for the supplement. So you could put together a story like this. Sarah's work is high stress, so she started taking omega-3 for her heart health. What she didn't expect was compliment after compliment on how radiant her skin looked. She wondered why. The only thing that had changed she could think of was omega-3. So she did a little investigation and made an amazing discovery. Omega-3 was doing far more than helping protect her heart. It was also turning back the clock for her skin, giving her that young, healthy glow she thought was gone forever because of her hectic lifestyle. She would have paid anything for this, but it came as an added free bonus thanks to the rejuvenating power of omega-3. So the great thing about dramatizing a hidden benefit is it not only makes your copy a little more entertaining, it also gives you a powerful new selling point.
I often think about like a potential customer sitting on the fence and they want it, but they also want to keep the money in the pocket and maybe they want to go on a vacation and they're trying to decide. And then you throw that hidden benefit in and it's the thing that nudges them over to the right side of the fence. It's a very powerful technique.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And I bet that's how it works in real life sometimes too. In fact, I'm sure. Okay, so our third technique is called Origin Story Theater. And this is a big overlooked opportunity to sneak a little entertainment into your copy. More often than not, people don't even have an origin story in their promotion. And when they do, they often miss the chance to include the drama that would make it entertaining for the reader and viewer. I look at it this way. When people know where you're coming from, it makes them more want to go where you're leading them. And this is especially helpful when you're selling something online or person, because you can use an origin story to bond with your prospects. So here's how you do this. Three steps. Step one, build credibility by connecting with your audience. Show your market that you're one of them. Let's say you're selling a fitness belt for gamers. You might want to start by quickly showing how you're a gamer yourself. I was hardly a gym rat. I always chose the console over the treadmill. But all that changed when I found a way to combine gaming and fitness. Step two, you can easily and quickly explain what your product is and what it does without breaking the flow. Origin stories let you show off your product in action, making it super clear why it's a perfect fit for your audience. So step two, get them to imagine using your product. Picture this. You're deep in your gaming marathon, battling it out for the top spot. But at the same time, you're also working on your fitness goals. No pause needed. The cheat code grinding belt melts away fat easily while you're busy conquering worlds and defeating bosses. It's fitness made for gamers by a gamer. For those of us who thrive in virtual worlds, but want to level up in real life too. All right, step three, showcase a success story. And here, when you share your own success story, this can be the most convincing part of your pitch. You wrap up your origin story by showing the positive changes you've achieved using your product. In less than 3 weeks, this belt has helped me lose 15 pounds of fat. I now feel lighter, younger, and healthier than I have in a very long time. Not only have I transformed my own health, but now I'm on a quest to bring this revolution to the gaming community. This belt was born from late-night gaming sessions and a desire for a healthier lifestyle. It's here to show you that fitness doesn't have to mean sacrificing game time. And then you end, when you end your origin story with your personal journey, that highlights the belt's impact and shows you believe in your product because it's worked for you. And when you see the change it's made in your life, when they see it, that prompts them to imagine what it could do for theirs.
I just want to add the origin story and the importance of having a credibility booster in there. If I know where it came from and I trust the person that brought it to me, it does a lot of hard work for bringing down some of those objections that might be subconsciously going on.
Yeah, it really does, because now more than ever, we've divided ourselves into tribes, and we want to believe that the person who we're about to put our trust and our money in belongs to at least one of the tribes that we've associated ourselves with.
Hopefully, like when gamers make that their whole identity. So when you're like, hey, I'm just like you, and I was dealing with the problem you were dealing with, and look how awesome the result that I got from this thing that I came up with is. It's a tried and true method of persuasion.
Yes, indeed. Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Okay, so our fourth technique is detour around the Semmelweis reflex. Now, telling a story to avoid the Semmelweis reflex is a great way to get people to accept a new idea, something they might have already been really opposed to, and a wonderful opportunity to throw a little entertainment into your copy as well. First, let me explain what the Semmelweis reflex is. Ignaz Semmelweis was a 19th century Hungarian doctor whose work led to many more women surviving childbirth. He discovered that infections, which often turn out to be fatal, could be prevented if doctors simply washed their hands in a chlorine solution before examining the woman who had just given birth. But when he introduced this discovery, the other doctors just weren't having it. They called the idea ridiculous, outright rejected it, even though he had ample proof. And that's where the term Semmelweis reflex comes from. It refers to how people angrily reject new ideas that run counter to their beliefs. Now, as marketers, we have to be very careful of this because the Semmelweis reflex usually occurs automatically. But there's a way around it. Suppose you had a new kind of fuel that significantly reduces carbon emissions without sacrificing engine performance. Nobody would believe you. And a lot of marketers would try to arm wrestle down prospects' beliefs with a headline like, "New study reveals this eco-friendly fuel rocket boosts your engine power." For many prospects, that wouldn't work. It would set off alarm bells. It would trigger the Semmelweis reflex. But suppose instead you started out by talking about how much money people spend on gas, and then you showed why gas prices are set to rise in the future, and finally introduced the idea of less costly alternative fuels, but first saying, "You probably know eco-friendly fuels can't compete on performance." And honestly, you're right, because most of them can't, not even close. But there's one important exception you should know about. Eco-fuels with a newly discovered graphene-based catalyst not only can compete, they can win, because the catalyst increases combustion efficiency and engine performance. And Wambo Clean is the only fuel that incorporates this breakthrough graphene technology. See the difference? First approach instantly triggers the Semmelweis reflex. The second one gradually builds increasing agreement before introducing WamboClean. This reduces or eliminates the shock to your prospect's belief system. And, you know, to give credit where credit is due, this approach uses what Gene Schwartz calls gradualization to turn people who have already dug their heels in into converts for a new idea.
What I like about this is it's kind of like finding the overlay of the maps. I want to get you to this destination, but your map tells you to go east. My map tells you to go north. But if we can find the overlay and say, look, we're on the same map. Now that we're in agreement, I can show you, oh, this is actually the destination. But if I just come out and say, your map is wrong, your destination is wrong, you're going to push back because it feels like an attack. But if I start with agreement, it's easier to get to agreement.
I agree. That's a really good way to put it. All right, let's go to technique number five, show and tell. So as a general rule, showing is much more entertaining than telling. And writers are sternly warned, show, don't tell. We'll get into why you shouldn't take this warning too literally in a minute, but you definitely should keep it in mind because showing is almost always more entertaining than telling, but sometimes you've got to tie what you're showing together with some telling. So let's look at a few scenarios. It's one thing to tell your audience about the benefits of a product. It's another thing to make them feel the impact of those benefits in their daily lives. Here's telling. Just imagine, our product can significantly reduce your monthly energy bills. Now let's convert that to showing. Picture this. It's the end of the month and you're bracing yourself for another bloated energy bill. But when you tear open the envelope, you're surprised that your bill has dropped dramatically. All because of our energy-saving gadget. Not only does it reduce consumption, it keeps more cash in your wallet. Okay, so what about emotional depth and connection? Because it's one thing to claim that your customers are satisfied, and it's another thing to let your audience feel this satisfaction by walking them through an experience. So telling them would be, in a copy, telling them would be, our clients feel much happier after using our service. Showing would be, Sandra used to hate Monday mornings. The mountain of emails, the never finished to-do list, it always felt like a monster wave about to crash. But all that has changed since she discovered our service. Now, she sips her coffee, suppressing a secret smile on her lips as she reviews her organized inbox and manageable tasks. She's not just getting through her week, she's owning it. And now let's look about how showing can bring descriptions to life. So you got a fitness app. Our app helps you track your fitness progress easily. Showing every step you take, every mile you conquer, our app is there, quietly recording your wins. You glance at your phone, and there it is, a clear, vibrant chart showing just how far you've come and cheering you on. Our app celebrates every milestone with you. But finally, is it all show and no tell? Now, knowing when to show and tell is a lot like knowing when to speak and when to listen. Let's have a little fun with this. Telling. Balancing showing and telling is essential for effective writing. Showing. Imagine you're walking a tightrope. On the one side, the bare facts. Telling. Clear and necessary, but uninspiring. On the other side, rich, vivid imagery. Showing. Engaging, but potentially overwhelming. Your task is to toggle carefully between the two of them, making sure your reader stays with you every step of the way. With the right balance, you can weave a narrative that's as informative as it is immersive, getting your message not only to reach your audience, but also to resonate with them.
My thoughts on this, and this is probably the most difficult of the ones that we've covered today, because the point of show, don't tell is you want them to experience it so they adopt the idea as their own. If you just tell somebody, if you just preach at them, it's you trying to push that idea on them. But if you can use one of these stories to get them to experience it and come to the conclusion themselves, it's their idea. They adopt it as their own. But if you do it too much show and not enough tell, you risk not driving the point home. And that's one of the biggest fatal flaws of copy, is when you assume too much, you assume that they're going to understand it. The curse of knowledge comes into play. So it's like walking a tightrope. You've got to show and tell. So I love the way that you summed that up.
Thank you. All right. So you want a quick recap?
Absolutely.
Okay. So very quick recap. Technique number one, and these are techniques, by the way, for adding entertainment to your copy. Customer experience story that strums your prospects' heartstrings. Technique number two, jack-in-the-box stories, hidden benefit stories. Technique number three, origin story theater. Put some drama in that origin story and let people bond with you. Step number four, detour around the Semmelweis reflex. Don't confront people with things that they instinctively don't believe. Build agreement, as you were saying. Find the overlap in the maps. And five, show and tell. But keep it balanced.
Okay. I know a copywriter who recently released a book about how to use stories in your copy. And a lot of this sounds like some of the stuff that came out of that book.
I know that guy. I had breakfast with him this morning. In fact, I am him. It's applications from the Persuasion Story Code, which you can get on Amazon, the Persuasion Story Code. And yeah, we're selling a lot of them. And if you don't have it yet, you really should, because it's stuff you need to know. And it'll help you implement a lot of the things we talked about today.
Absolutely. So if you enjoyed this episode, go check out Persuasion Story Code on Amazon. There's a lot of reviews. I think it's actually still holding as an Amazon bestseller, and it's doing great.
It is doing great. We have 63 reviews. There's this one guy who made this incredible video for me. I don't know him. He didn't ask me if he could do it. And it's one of the reviews. I mean, it's worth going to the page just to see his video, just to see how to promote a book. Even nice. If you already have the book, go there anyway. And it's like a 3-minute video, but man, he did a good job. I finally found him and thanked him. He said, "Yeah, I really liked your book. I hope it helps you sell a lot of books."
Nice. All right. And if you want to find the book easily, we'll have it linked in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. If you enjoyed this episode, check out the book, check out other episodes, give us a like, subscribe to the podcast, and until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.